can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Get your kicks out on Route 66.
Welcome, everyone, to the Travel Guys. It's the travel show, what you need to know when you want to go. Thank you so much for joining me. I know it's really tough on a lot of people today because I know that the Olympic gold medal hockey game is on right now between we're starting pretty soon between between the U.S. and Canada, but we'll keep you posted and give you some scores along the way. Okay, it's the Travel Guy Show. My number one, Mark Hoffman, is in New York City. Once again, the show is hosted by Mark Hoffman of Sports Leisure Vacations, and I'm the anchor guy, Tom Romano. This is our second show. We're on every other Sunday, and it's so nice to have you here as part of the program. Got some great stuff coming up. Mark at the Travel Show has gathered together some really great interviews that he's going to share with us. Of course, we've got the travel news, lots of great new information in regards to what's going on in the world of travel. And with that in mind, let's now connect up with New York City and Mark Hoffman. Mark, are you there?
Good afternoon, Sacramento. Here is the weekly news update from the friendly, unless you're headed to the East Coast skies. U.S. officials want to install video cameras in cockpits and monitor black voice recorders, black box voice recorders, to try to eliminate pilot distractions and banner, which have been blamed for several accidents, including a deadly crash of a commuter jet in Buffalo, New York last year. Airline passengers are getting a whole lot bigger, while the seats they fly in are getting smaller. That's according to an article this past week in the Sacramento Bee, which wrote about a recent incident on Southwest Airlines involving an oversized passenger. The Bee story quoted, "The average American waistline has grown by 7 inches for women and 4 inches for men since 1960. The width of an airline plane seat still between 17 inches and 18 and a half inches for the last 51 years. CNN puts the issue into an industry-wide context, writing, "The weight issue has been a delicate one for airlines trying to respond to concerns from both large passengers and those feeling crushed while sitting next to them." I'm not going to enter into this argument. You can insert your own comment and opinion right there. The nation's recent onslaught of flight cancellations is a harbinger of what passengers can expect from airlines looking to avoid new multimillion-dollar fines for leaving people stranded on grounded planes in bad weather. This according to federal data and aviation experts. The government announced in December it would fine airlines $27,500 per passenger for long tarmac delays, or $2.75 million for a 100-passenger flight. From February 5th through Thursday, when severe snowstorms hit the Mid-Atlantic and the Midwest, airlines canceled about 15,000 flights, according to the Air Transport Association. It has taken them days to rebook the 500,000 to 1,000,000 passengers who missed their flights. The fines for lengthy tarmac delays, defined as 3 hours or more, go into effect April the 29th. And just inserting a little comment and opinion here, would you rather be on your plane for hours or stuck in an airport, or would you rather be home? I'm not sure who these aviation experts are that are quoted in this particular wire service story, but I'm going to suggest to you that maybe these experts have names like United and Continental and American, because the fact that you're not reading about any lengthy tarmac delays means that airplanes are not sitting on tarmacs. Passengers are not being stuck in airports for hours. They're shutting airports down, and when the weather clears, then they're opening them back up again. So, I mean, would you rather be if you're flying from Sacramento and you have to connect in a major hub, would you rather get halfway and get stuck without your luggage and your personal items for a couple of days? I'm no big fan of government intervention in our lives, but I'm going to suggest to you that this is one time when we're going to find that a government policy that was put forth is going to make a major, have a major positive impact on consumers. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Southwest Airlines will continue to allow customers to check two bags for free, the airline's CEO told the Tampa Tribune. Speaking to a Q&A column that runs in the paper, Southwest Chief Gary Kelly defended the no-bag fee policy against criticism from Wall Street analysts. Many of those analysts say Southwest is walking away from hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue by not charging for bags. Kelly explains, quote, "The analysts just don't get it. We are making money, and others who have added baggage fees are losing money. We've gained market share because of our policy. If we added baggage fees, we would lose more revenue from lost passengers than we would gain by charging those who remain with Southwest." Southwest is the number one carrier from Sacramento International Airport.
Well, you know, Mark, I'll tell you, I have a daughter that's been traveling, will be traveling from San Antonio, Texas, back to Sacramento, and baggage is an issue. She's going to have, I don't know, at least a couple of bags and some carry-ons. Tell me, in the real world here, if it weren't for the Southwest thing, what kind of money would that be costing me for those extra bags?
Well, you're looking at $100 to $120. You're looking at $25 to $30 per bag per direction. In some cases, you can save $2, $3, $4, $5 by checking in and paying those fees online before you get to the airport. The amazing thing to me, Tom, is after having a bag not make it in Columbus way back at the beginning of this road trip of mine a week and a half ago, is that the airlines are now charging people for a service that used to be free. But when the bags don't show up on the other end and there are two dozen people without suitcases, there's still only one person in the luggage department to be able to handle those inquiries. So what's happening is that people are now paying for a service that used to be free, except that they're not getting any service connected with it at all. And that is just one man's opinion. Tom, what do you figure are the top 10 U.S. destinations favored by U.S. travelers for this year?
Wow, let me think about that for a second. The top 10, huh? Well, let me see if I can give you my top couple, two or three anyway. I'm just talking from personal experience and friends that I know. I know people like to go to San Francisco, and that, of course, out of California here. A shot over to Vegas from time to time might be kind of cool. And one other one, I don't know. Disney destinations are always great. So I'm going to go San Francisco, Vegas, and perhaps Florida. Now you can clue me in on what the real deal is.
Wow, you've done pretty well there. I would say all three of your picks are in the top 10. New York, where I sit right here broadcasting to you live, is number one. Then it's followed by Las Vegas, Miami Beach, Orlando, New Orleans, rounds out the top five. And then you have Miami, San Francisco, Chicago, Honolulu, and Los Angeles finally is rounds out the top ten, at least according to hotelscombined.com. You know, the next time I watch the reality series Survivor, Tom, I'm going to definitely think of this winter that was in the worst snowstorm into history in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago, at least in their history, and the fourth worst it now comes in, the one over the weekend here in New York City. The president had a special name for the snowstorm in Washington, and it was called Snowtastrophe here. And so it truly, there is an amazing difference, though, Tom, in the way that our nation's capital and New York City clean up. And I will just suggest to you, all you have to do is look at the Congress of the United States over the last year or so and see what they've accomplished. Pretty much nothing. That will tell you how they clean up the streets in Washington, D.C. In New York City, they were out before the snow was done cleaning things up. And now we're, 2 days later, and the city is pretty much back to normal. That doesn't count for northern New Jersey, and some of the folks are still without power in the Tri-States region here, but there is a significant difference. Yesterday afternoon, I broke away from the convention center here and went to my favorite New York restaurant. Actually, it's probably my favorite place to eat on the planet, Sylvia's Restaurant at 126th and Lenox up in Harlem. You got to take the 3 train from Times Square in case you need some directions, and that's where you're going to find the best cooking, the best soul food that you can ever believe, and just good old home cooking. They have a dish there at Sylvia's called smothered chicken. You take a big old chicken breast, deep fry it, and then they just stick it in gravy, and just chicken gravy until, I guess, they serve it to somebody, probably for hours, till the meat falls off the bone. You add a big pile of string beans and fresh corn, and I am in heaven. You know, Harlem has had a real rebirth in recent years. Bill Clinton, when he left the presidency, opened his office in Harlem. And without making too much of a political statement, not just that it was President Clinton, but if any president, former president, chose to make their office in a community, particularly a community like Harlem, they're making a real statement, and it's really made a difference in Harlem. I mean, the going to Sylvia's now as opposed to going to Sylvia's when I first discovered it 10 years ago has made a huge difference. And one more note here, a personal note about New York. This visit, if you're headed here in the next few months, there is a show you might want to consider seeing, particularly if you're from Northern California. You will recognize the two lead characters in it. It is more of a performance than it is a show. It is called All About Me. It stars Dame Edna and Michael Feinstein, who Michael is, of course, a great vocalist from the Bay Area, one of the most incredible male vocalists on the planet. And Dame Edna is a gentleman named Barry Humphreys, who has been playing a cross-dressing Australian elderly lady for, oh gosh, I don't know, probably 30 years now. And so the best vocalist on the planet and one of the world's truly funniest comedians, and you get All About Me with Michael Feinstein and Dame Edna. It was truly a treat to see here in New York City. And you know, Tom, the probably one of the differences between Washington, D.C. and New York is that this city has to operate every day. Washington had the luxury of being able to shut down the city and just say, well, everybody stay home. We'll shut the government down for a couple of days, which, you know, and then they shut the government down and no one noticed. In New York City, you've got literally, I'm at the Marriott Marquis at 45th and Broadway, and you've got, I would say, probably 20,000 people. Yesterday was a Saturday, so double that because there are two sets of shows, a matinee and an evening. So probably 40,000 people pouring into the city just to see shows, eat in restaurants, park their cars, buy knickknacks, all of those sorts of things. So there's a tremendous amount of commerce and business that's just conducted constantly here in New York City. If you don't get if you don't get things cleaned up in a hurry, boy, you're going to have one heck of a big problem. And I think that's the huge difference between these two places. Tom, you really truly would not believe how quickly they have cleaned up this city by using garbage trucks with snowplows attached to the front of them. And you wouldn't believe some of it, but it got the job done.
That's just totally amazing. Mark, and I know, of course, you're there for the world's largest travel show, and that's going to bring a lot of people into that area where you are. I would imagine, did the weather clear just in time for all of the people to make it to the show? And tell me, what was some of the highlights of the travel show? What was the most interesting things that you've seen so far at the travel show in New York?
Well, Friday was the trade show day here when travel professionals come in to learn about the products that they are selling to the public. And, of course, Friday was the day when the city was pretty much completely, the first part of the day at least, it was real hard to get. And it wasn't just New York. New York was functional, but New Jersey and Connecticut were not too functional during that time. And as I mentioned, some of those folks are can't get out of their front doors. But things are getting better all the time. By yesterday morning here, the convention center was up and running. It really is the most amazing travel show, I think, on the planet. When you look at the fact that there are every corner of the world is represented here. There are six or seven stages with dancers and cultural events and readings and different demonstrations going on all over the place. You literally could, in 6 hours here or in 3 hours or as long as your legs would hold you up, you could collect enough brochures and you could probably feel like you'd been completely around the world without ever leaving New York City. It really is the most amazing travel show that I have ever seen. That last year their attendance was 17,000. I suspect they may be off a little bit this year because of the bad weather, but I know there is a huge crowd in this building today, just adjacent to me here. I mean, as I look out over the North American Pavilion and I can see Europe and Africa is just off to my right here, and I mean literally all four corners of the planet.
That's amazing, Mark. I'm sorry that you're there and I'm here, because I would have loved to have gone with you, but you would have had to pay extra for me as luggage. I want to remind everybody, this is the Travel Guy Show on every other Sunday here on KFBK. I want you to check out our website, sportsleisure.com. There is a little button that you can click on and see some of the cool stuff that we'll be talking about on our shows here from time to time. And later on, we're actually going to use that particular site and that particular button for you to actually chat back and forth between Mark and myself and our special guests from time to time on the show. Got some interesting interviews coming up. Mark, I know we've got two coming up here just in a minute that I'm going to tell people about, but I want you to tell me a little bit about probably will be the last interview of the show that's coming up at probably in the last 15 minutes. Who will we be talking with at that time?
Tom, we're going to go to Antarctica with a cruise company, Scandinavia. Who better know how to get through snow and ice than folks from Scandinavia? In fact, the gentleman that we'll be speaking with, Bo Fries.
We lost New York. Well, at least we lost it for a second or two. Mark, if you can hear me, just hang tight, and we'll see if your connection comes back in a minute. Now that's what you call a real tease. See, we teased part of it, and part of it you didn't even get to hear. So that's the new technology of teasing stuff. Coming up in just a minute, we'll be talking about with a fella who has a business that shrink wraps your luggage so stuff won't fall out. You're going to be interested to see how that works, especially since the luggage still has to be checked, okay? And then some tips on how to get tickets at Broadway shows, all coming up on the Travel Guys.
I'm leaving today.
Your world, your news, your station. News Talk 1530, KFEK.
Start spreading the news. The Travel Guys are on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Speaking of New York, New York, I went to see the show My Way, which was down at the Cosmopolitan Cafe Cabaret, and it was very, very cool. There's four young people, actually three young people and one older guy, and they did 58 Frank Sinatra songs in a period of about 2 hours in medleys and so forth, and told the story of Frank Sinatra's life and used a lot of the phrases and nuances that really made Sinatra Sinatra. And it's a very cool show. I think it's still playing there for a while longer if you want to check it out. But I you know, every time I hear that New York, New York, I immediately think of Sinatra and that show. Okay, Travel Guys are back on. We'll be hooking up with Mark in a while, but I do have even better. I have some great interviews that Mark captured over the last week at the travel show in New York City. If you're like me, when they started changing the rules in regards to luggage and security several years ago, it got to the point, as everybody knows, you can't lock your luggage anymore. You got to leave it open. And then there's always the fear that the zipper is going to break and all of your stuff's going to end up all over the airport. And it's embarrassing. If you saw the stuff that I take, you wouldn't want to see it. Okay. So at any rate, there's a company now that can help secure that. And it's kind of interesting. So let's go to that interview. I think you'll enjoy this.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. We're live at the New York Times Travel Show in New York City, and I'm here with Daniel Pena of a company called SecureWrap, which has their operations in over 50 international airports, Daniel tells me now. This is the thing that you see when you go into a lot of major airports where they can wrap your suitcase in what looks like Saran wrap, and I've always wondered, how does that work with the whole security situation and stuff like that? Daniel, explain it to us, if you would, how SecureWrap works.
Okay, the machines are located actually inside the passenger terminal area. What they do is, if you decide to use the service, you'll give it to our employees. They'll mark the bags with a special label. They'll proceed to wrap it, and the passenger go ahead and proceed the bags to the check-in point.
So the bags are wrapped before folks go to the check-in counter?
That's correct. After the bags are checked with the airlines, they bring it to TSA, or it's put on the belt so TSA could inspect it.
Now, what happens if, for some reason, TSA has to get into the bag? Let's say that they decide there's something in there that they want to see, and you've already got secure wrap around it.
If TSA needs to go for secondary screening on the bag, what they do, they'll cut the bag, the plastic open, they do their inspection, and if the bag is cleared, they'll put it back in the belt. My employees will get it right after them. They recognize the bag with a special label on the handle. They'll bring it to our machine for rewrapping. This is, of course, after inspection, and it's free of charge. So the bag goes to the plane, wrapped after inspection.
So you've got it covered. If there's secondary screening, your folks will get the bag back and be able to rewrap it and to see it TSA satisfaction and send it on its way. And we should tell folks that this costs between $7 and $9 a bag.
That's correct.
Which sounds like a heck of a good deal. Plus, it's going to protect it from a lot of the elements, weather and the like. And you've got a package here, a peace of mind package I see is $36. And you were telling me it involves for folks who get to the airport and they've got an overweight suitcase, perhaps.
That's correct. If your bag is overweight, what we'll do is we'll sell you a package which includes a duffel bag. Our employees will help you weigh the bag. We have a scale incorporated into the machine. We'll give you a bag to put your overweight inside, and also we'll wrap that bag at the end of the service.
So you get a second bag to put your overflow in, and once your overflow is in there and your bag is now a legal weight, you wrap both of the bags up and send them both on it their way.
That's correct, and it was included in the same price.
An amazing service. Is there a website where folks can find out more about this?
SecureWrap.com. That's where they can find out where we're located and actually more about the service.
Great. Or sportsleisure.com will take you to all of the websites mentioned on today's program. Thank you, Daniel. Daniel Pena with SecureWrap, another way to get to the airport and have a little bit better security on your luggage, perhaps. Tom, back to you.
You know, and something else that's important is once you get to New York, and that's getting tickets to the Broadway shows, I mean, it can really be tough unless you know where to go. Here's another interview that's going to help you out.
Tom, let's steal a minute here with Dennis Martin of Broadway.com. And in a quick minute, Dennis, what's the best way for folks to get tickets to Broadway shows?
There's actually two best ways, depending on what you like. There's if you want to speak to a real live human being, you can call an 800 number. It's 1-800-BROADWAY. It's pretty easy to remember. Or comfy online, it's very easy. You just go to www.broadway.com.
And on the website, they'll find also a lot of information about shows, seating charts for theaters, all of that important information.
Absolutely. Basically, hopefully, everything they'd need. From seating charts to plot synopsis to who the show might be good for, whether it's good for kids, whether there's a lot of dancing, whether it's a straight play. You know, basically all the questions that people would ask. And then if you need more help, you can always pick up the phone.
And also information about shows that perhaps haven't even opened yet.
Absolutely. We try to keep you well informed about what's coming in soon and even 6 months from now.
Broadway.com and 1-800-BROADWAY.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dennis. Dennis Martin of Broadway.com. Back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Mark. Coming up, Mike Simpson's going to give us an update on the news and see whether the U.S. is beating Canada yet. In the meantime, thanks for joining us. This is the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
News, weather, traffic, coverage you can count on. News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Live from New York City, welcome back to the Travel Guys with Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. This is Mark Hoffman. I am live from the Javits Center in New York City, where the New York Times Travel Show is in progress, the largest gathering of travel entities on the planet. And if you were here, trust me, you could see everything from if you were Polish or from Estonia or you wanted to go to Spain or any place on the planet that you possibly wanted to go, including some pretty exotic U.S. destinations. And some of those folks we'll be talking to in weeks to come on the Travel Guys. Our next guest here this afternoon on the Travel Guys is a very interesting gentleman that I ran into. He is a tour guide in New York City and in Brooklyn. He has lived here most of his life. He worked for CBS and NBC News. He is a huge baseball fan. He once was a bat boy for the Brooklyn Dodgers, a story that perhaps we'll have to get into with him one day about how he met Jackie Robinson. But this man is, he really embodies New York City in that he is has all kinds of interesting aspects to his life, to his past, and now he's become a tour guide so that he can share some of these stories with folks from New York City. And I think you're really going to enjoy meeting Hal Glicksman, who, after being an executive at CBS and NBC and working for Ted Turner at TBS for many years, has retired and become a tour guide deluxe in New York City. Tom, why don't we share a little bit of Hal Glicksman with the folks?
New York is unique, and there are some really special places in New York. It's unfortunate to me that when people come to New York, they feel frightened to explore. They want to be within blocks of their hotel in the Times Square area, where everything is so overpriced. Whereas if you left the Times Square area and you, for instance, traveled up to the Upper West Side, where my wife and I live, you could eat Heroes for half the price, and they are tasty and delicious. People somehow or other think the life of New York City is Times Square, and nothing could be less reality than that concept. I mean, I take people to Brooklyn, and I give them the view of the lower Manhattan skyline. I show them where George Washington escaped from the British in 1776 in August. And in David McCullough's book, he says that had Washington, after he lost the Battle of Brooklyn, not escaped, we don't know whether we would have ever, ever achieved our independence from England. Who knows? Maybe you and I would be having tea at this time of the day.
This is the Travel Guys on KFBK. And Hal Glicksman is joining us here this afternoon and telling us a little bit about some of the great spots to see in New York City. Give me a couple of other examples of neat places that you point out on your tours in Brooklyn, New York, whatever.
Well, in Manhattan, there are a couple of Gray's Papayas. It's been on the Food Channel. This is a stand where you can buy hot dogs 24 hours a day, and two hot dogs and a cold drink is $4.50. Now, of course, this is traumatic to me because I remember when it was a dollar and a quarter. So this is what happens when you get older. It gets very difficult to, you know, be spending more than what you used to pay for something. But as my wife reminds me, honey, that was 50 years ago. So.
And Broadway theater tickets were?
Oh, well, I remember when I went to see Bye Bye Birdie, the tickets were $9. And I thought that was a fortune.
It's $125 is a pretty standard price these days.
Well, now here again, you don't necessarily have to pay $125. We have something called the TKTS window on 47th Street and Broadway. And if you go there, you can get tickets 20 to 50% off the list price. And now you can also do it with a credit card or cash. At one time, it was
only... For many years it was cash only.
Yeah, many years it was cash only. And so that's how my wife and I go to the theater. We try to do it at least once a month. But, of course, we also like good music. So between Lincoln Center and Carnegie Hall, again, it comes down to, you know, flipping a coin. We can't be in three places at one time. My pizza there is Mama's, and it's up on 106th Street and Amsterdam Avenue. They use fresh sauce. The guy who owns it, his mother, is 93 years old. She makes the sauce fresh every day for the pizza and for the Italian food they serve. Mama's, yeah. Yeah, this is Mama.
Mama's still with us.
And what I like about the place is I've gotten so friendly with them that when I go there and I put an order in, the guy will come out and say, I just made myself some broccoli rabe. Here, have a little taste. I mean, they treat me like somehow or other I'm one of the family. So I feel very loyal to them, and they're just wonderful people. The Italians in New York are the soul of New York. Now, most people don't realize, but Little Italy today is a joke. Because in 1964, we built a bridge connecting Brooklyn and Staten Island. And there began a slow migration of the Italians from Little Italy over to Staten Island. And then in 1965, we changed the immigration law. And as a result, a huge wave of Asians came into New York City. Chinatown was saturated. 40 years ago, Chinatown had 100,000 people. Today, Chinatown has expanded. It used to be 10 square blocks. Now it's more like 17 square blocks and 300,000 people. So after the bridge was built, the following year when they changed the immigration law, within 1 year, 35% of Little Italy became Chinese. Today, 95% of Little Italy is Chinese, and 92% of the Lower East Side is also Chinese. So those three dynamics, those three ethnic communities of Chinatown, Little Italy, and the Lower East Side is basically today one neighborhood. It's called Chinatown.
But New York is, like any major city, is always evolving. And probably one of the things that makes New York such an exciting place is the incredible diversity of people. Just in Lower Manhattan, I can think of six or seven different communities that exist in that area.
Well, to give you an idea, we speak 170 different languages in New York City. And when you come to New York, you should be aware of the fact that we have something called the New York City Information Line. It is one of the best things Mayor Bloomberg did when he came into office 9 years ago. If you dial 311 and you speak in your native tongue, someone will come on the line within a minute and help you with tourist information about New York City 24 hours a day. It is free of charge. There is no city in the world who is as tourist-friendly as New York City.
Unbelievable. Hal, I guess I would be remiss if I didn't ask you. You mentioned that in your time with the Today Show, that 267 different U.S. cities and towns, 367, there must be one or two that stand out in your mind.
Well, the idea in doing the promotional bumpers I did was to find people who were good on their feet and had a visual quality that captivated your attention. You know, I captured some of the most amazing people. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, it was Miguel Toro. Miguel is a dancer, a Mexican dancer, but he dances with a tray on the top of his head with six glasses of water with a napkin on top of each glass. And when he gets through, he puts the tray down and you can see there's no water on the napkin. When I go to Jacksonville, Florida, Mr. Science, who teaches children all about electricity, passes 1 million volts of electricity over the periphery of his body and the sparks fly out of his hand. That's how you get children interested in science. I've gone to any number of cities and gotten musical conductors to lead their symphony orchestra while I taught them a copy. And they looked at the orchestra and then looked up at me with the camera in the back of the orchestra promoting their orchestra as well as the Today Show or the Early Show.
This is Mark Hoffman from New York City on the Travel Guys on KFBK. We'll be back with more after this.
Welcome back to New York City. This is Mark Hoffman live with you from the Jacob Javits Convention Center in New York City. I would say snowbound New York City, except that a lot has changed here in the last 48 hours, and it certainly isn't nearly as snow-covered as it was. There's a few piles. You can find them in a few corners, and I'm suspecting if you get out into outlying neighborhoods, you can still see some snow coverage. But in New York City, it's been pretty well cleaned up. Our next guest here with me is Bo Friedsberg from Hurtigen. Oh, I'm not even going to try. Norwegian Coastal Voyages is a lot easier to say, Bo. As you said before, this is a company that does not only Norway, which we'll talk about that in a minute, but also voyages to Greenland and on an even higher level to Antarctica.
Absolutely correct, Mark, and thanks for having me on this little radio show, and a pleasure to talk to you. The Hurtigruten that you tried to pronounce.
Wait. Do that again?
The Hurtigruten, that's actually the Norwegian name, and we were known here in the U.S. for being the old Bergen Line many years, and then we took the name Norwegian Coastal Voyage to better depict us, who we are and what we are, because we're not really a cruise line. We're more a destination-oriented voyage for our destinations. And now, some years ago, our parents in Norway decided that we're going to be global name, and the original name in Norway is Hurtigruten, meaning actually the fast route, because back in the times when we were founded in 1893, we were the fastest route to connect the small hamlet villages and towns with each other from Bergen in the south, 1,250 miles up to Kirkenes in the north. And we depart daily, year-round.
So the company started by running the ferry service on the coast of Norway. And before we talk about Antarctica for a minute, since I've had groups that have made this trip in the past, and I'm sure will in the future, it's kind of a local ferry service for folks who live along the coast of Norway, but it's more attuned to tourist travel, perhaps.
Absolutely. If we go many years back, you can call us more like a cargo and ferry service. Since then, we certainly have developed our vessels and our services. We're really a major tourist attraction, and the vessels are from 300 passengers up to 670 passengers. Some of the newest vessels, they have huge suites, balconies, and all have big observation lounges. We're really a cruise product without the really mass market cruise. We don't have casinos. We don't have a Las Vegas style entertainment. We do 34 ports of call on the northbound stretch and the same 34 ports of call on the southbound stretch, so we can get on and off the ship 3, 4, 5, 6 times per day and explore the back door of Norway. And it's more about scenery, nature, history, culture, and wildlife. That's us in a nutshell.
It's an amazing way to see parts of Scandinavia. And, of course, from there, from the Norway coast, from Oslo, you can connect to any of the Scandinavian cities. And, in fact, what our groups generally do is fly up to reindeer country in Finland and board the ferry and come on down. Let's talk a little bit about Antarctica. That has been tremendously popular in recent years, and it's also been – it hasn't been without its difficult situations. There have been some accidents in Antarctica. There are folks who are concerned about the number of people who are visiting there. I know your company has been because of perhaps of your Norwegian background, you folks have been very conscious all along about the environment there and sensitivity to that. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Thanks, Mark. And we started our operation in Antarctica back in 2002. And we certainly have an old heritage, because the Norwegian seafaring people go 100 years back. They actually started the exploration cruising, not only exploring the South Pole, but they also set up whaling stations and sheep farming in the southern part of Chile and the Patagonia. So we have a long history being down in this region and know what we're doing. We now have our newest vessel down there, known as the MS Fram, named after the old explorer Roald Amundsen, the Fram. And she was built in 2007. So it's a 318-passenger vessel, but we cap it to 250. She's a state-of-the-art vessel, very comfortable, and we certainly adhere to all the restrictions. We are full-fledged member of the IAATO, meaning International Association of Antarctica Tour Operators, and we do adhere and we do pay caution to the safety and the concern. We actually also were in 2007, right after Thanksgiving, a ship that sank and no casualties, but we were the rescue vessel down there.
So your company has a variety of itineraries down there. There's everything from as short as a 10-day trip to something that's up to a little over 2 weeks. It includes the Falkland Islands and the like?
Yeah, we have the core program is basically the northern tip of Antarctica. We fly into Buenos Aires. We take you on a charter flight down to Ushuaia, the southernmost city in Argentina. We then board a ship, and we do the 9-day rotation in the peninsula of Antarctica. We also have some longer trips, 13-day in the Weddell Sea, meaning we're going down to Margaret Bay, which is the South Antarctic Circle. With coastal voyage, we can also go the Arctic Circle, so we do two extremes. And then we do the 17 and 19-day, meaning South Georgia and Falkland. And we really want a true experience. You have to do the longer trip to include South Georgia and the Falkland Island.
Most spectacular thing you think about cruising in Antarctica? I know you've been down there.
I would say to be up close and personal, which is something we do with all our cruises. But close and personal, we do the landings. We have expedition leaders. We have lectures. And just think, we're going to land what we call a polar circle vessel. Comfortable Zodiac, but it's not a Zodiac because that's a rubber. This is made out of a fiberglass. And for 8 passengers, we walk around with the penguins. We look at the seals. We look at the wildlife. Cannot be more up close and personal than that.
And there are naturalists on board? And
absolutely. Lectures, naturalists. We talk about the Shackleton Expedition. We will talk about the ornithology, geology, the Antarctica Treaty. You come back with millions of pictures, both in your memory and in your camera.
The passage across the Drake's Passage there is kind of legendary for being rough. What would you say about that?
Well, it's known
as... Is that the price you pay to get to go to Antarctica?
Well, you pay, you suffer to go on exploring trips. No, it's the most treacherous waters, but it can be calm as a lake. It can blow up to 20-foot swells in an hour. We do have what we call the stabilizers, but if it's really bad, we cannot utilize them because they break off. But it's only 36 hours, and we do have ship's doctors, nurses, and we have pills on board. So prepare for yourself, but it's not that bad. I have only heard about one crossing this season that was sort of a little rough.
So, to every adventure holds a small price into it. In order to find more about your cruises, tell folks where they can find them on the website.
First of all, you should go to website Hurtigruten, Hurtigruten.us, and there you will find all the up-to-date information. If you don't ask Mark, of course, but God knows too.
Or if you're not writing all that down, you can go to sportsleisure.com and you can find all of the websites from today's program. Tom, let's go back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Mark. This is the Travel Guys. We'll be back to talk about what's coming up on next week's show in just about a minute and a half here on News Talk 1530 KFVK.